We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah! What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
The
Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostat, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and GSPN. I am Ty Windisch, one of your hosts, joined as always by the hopefully rested and relaxed Rohan Kadi, coming to you on a Tuesday morning following the holiday weekend. Rohan, sir, how's it going?
Doing rested. I am rested.
Maybe not enough rest. Yeah.
Can you tell that we woke up early to do this podcast after a long weekend? But that's just how it would be. Hopefully everyone listening to this enjoyed their long weekend if they are indeed in the United States or on a United States schedule, because obviously Memorial Day is not really a thing in other countries. Though I think it was a British bank holiday. I might be wrong. So our English listeners also had a long weekend, I think, or I just might be making things up. doing well. And I'm glad I'm here. I get to actually give my reaction to the Bucks hiring a new head coach. I know you and Jordan did an amazing emergency reaction podcast, which felt more than just a reaction podcast or emergency pod. It felt like, oh, man, these guys know they prepared. It was like, even though I saw the chain of what led up to that podcast happening, and it's like, oh, boom, 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 it's right away. It felt like it was very, very nuanced, very well prepared for it being an emergency podcast. So if you have not listened to that, I would encourage you to do so first and foremost. But yeah, I'm ready to talk about this.
So let's get right into it. I mean, I think all of us a little bit surprised by the way this coaching search went, right? I mean, when the top three were announced, I think we were all a little surprised that Adrian Griffin was in there. And then with the other two being Kenny Atkinson and Nick Nurse, I mean, all of our predictions or whatever, publicly, privately, I don't think anyone was taking Griffin. So, you know, the first when the news first broke, what was your reaction? And then as kind of the logic started to come out in various reports and stories that we can get into here as well, you know, how did that color your reaction to the news?
It just felt a little messy in the way, and that's not necessarily the fault of the Bucks and their process, because we're never going to exactly know what went on in the room. But just the way that details were coming out, it's like, oh, this is a little messy. Because the first tweet that we got was the Shams. Was it the Shams tweet where we got?
It was
after Nick Nurse has pulled out of the race. It's between Adrian Griffin and Kenny Atkinson, and then 5 seconds later, Woj is like, "Yeah, it's Adrian Griffin." So that was a quick deciding period, and I think we've just decided that was Nick Nurse trying to like save face a little bit.
Better PR.
Which is furthered by comments that we are going to get into, especially from our good friend Jim Ozarski's article for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Yeah.
Shout out Jim, friend of the podcast.
Yeah, we might have to have Jim back. Jim is all over this in a way that I think no one else is.
Oh, he's killing it.
I mean, Jim
he's
is really this dynamic that we'll get into that I think fed into this happening. Jim is all over that right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Stay tuned for that potentially. But just initially, I was just shocked because I really, really thought it was going to be Kenny Atkinson. And maybe that's just my own bias clouding my judgment because as you guys talked about, we wanted Kenny Atkinson. He was our first choice. He was yours and Jordan's first choice out of the three remaining candidates. But just to see that it was not Kenny Atkinson was just like a little disappointing. And especially in the hire being Adrian Griffin, a guy who who was not necessarily our first choice. And like you had mentioned, we were surprised that he was in the final, like in the top three candidates listed. But yeah, it just felt a little messy in the way that things were reported out. And the way the details are starting to come out about how this hire came to be, I think the subsequent reporting being that all three finalists met with Giannis Antetokounmpo, and John Horst had organized some sort of some dinner, and that Chris Middleton was invited. And was he there?
We don't know if he was there. He was invited.
Like the him being invited part is good, but we don't actually know if he was there or not.
Although we do know this. We do know, according to Jim's piece, Middleton also spoke with Griffin in the run-up to the decision. So whether he was actually there or not, Middleton did speak to Adrian Griffin, at least him.
Yes.
But yeah, so that was from the Journal Sentinel. The Athletic reported Middleton was invited to the dinners, but did not specify if he attended, which such a some weird bits of reporting always come out around stuff like this.
It's always going to come. This is the Milwaukee Bucks way. It's like you there's some pertinent information. Well, you're going to get the smallest breadcrumbs around it. And you have to piece it together yourself. That's
thankfully true. We've gotten good at it over the years.
Yes, we have years of practice about this. But yeah, just overall, it just kind of felt a little messy.
Yeah.
Like on Monday, the 76ers hired Nick Nurse to be their head coach. And it's just like, that's it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Nick Nurse is the new head coach of the 76ers. Okay, cool. That's it. We're good. That's just not how it went with the Bucks at all.
Yeah. Do you think that – who do you think said no to each other first? What's your thought on the Nurse thing?
I think Giannis said no first.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, I guess if I'm not getting this job, you can't kick me out of the race. I'm pulling myself out.
Yeah.
Sort of thing happened.
Let me text good buddy Shams, who we have the same agency, and let him know that I bowed out of this. I quit. I was not fired. Make it known as if it matters at all. Like – I've just got to say, I mean, there's, you know, oh. Yeah.
When's the tweet that Kenny Atkinson pulled out of the race?
Yeah, well, Kenny Atkinson does business like a normal coach, so thankfully we're not getting it. I'm glad it's not Nick Nurse. I really
me
am.
Me too.
Like,
me too.
All these, like, oh, now Philly has a coaching advantage over the Bucks. We don't know. And that's the biggest Adrian Griffin answer so far. Like, I've seen a lot of, like, how can someone explain to me that he's going to be a better coach than Spo or Nick Nurse? It's like, one, probably not Spo, because Spo's the best coach in the league. It's really hard to do better. But then Nick Nurse or whatever other coach, we don't know yet. Like, we need to see it. That's the thing about hiring an assistant. Like, we don't have enough to go on. We're gonna get
a first-time head coach in general.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. An assistant who's never been a head coach in the NBA, we don't know how good he is tactically. Like, we're just going to find out. A lot of it will come from the assistants he hires, and that's going to be a big thing as well, and building out that staff. But, you know, there's, I think, like, this desire that, you know, we just need to know now what it's going to be. We won't. I mean, it's going to be a collaborative process, I'm sure. Clearly, his relationship with Giannis, as we'll get into, is a big thing. But we don't know the offense. We don't know the defense. We don't know the, you know, is he going to be a user to lose it guy, right? All of these things. We don't know what the ACOs are going to be like. We don't know who's going to have the ball in their hands a lot. We're going to make some educated guesses and do all the research we can, there's no way of knowing. So, you know, you're just going to have to not know and trust that they made a decision that's going to work out in the long term. I mean, we don't have to have a coach who has his own merch. That's a huge win in my book, I think. And I think
the only merch people should be buying is the ones listed at gspn.info.
Yes, correct. I think our merch store is temporarily down, so buy them soon. But the other thing, though, and let's get into it now, the Giannis factor of this, which is clearly huge. And the more that comes out, the huger it seems to be. And I think, again, Jim Ozarski, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I swear to God, you share Jim's article, people go, I'm not going to pay. I'm not. Just pay or shut up. Those are the only options I care about. Like, I don't, no one cares if you're not paying. I think it's still like a dollar for 6 months, by the way. So just pay the dollar.
Dollar for 3 months.
Dollar for 3 months. Thank you. But pay full price. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has great stuff. Jim's especially.
It's support local journalism.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's just frustrating to me. It's like, if you don't want to pay, fine. But if you can't pay, of course, I understand. The people who make a big deal out of it, like, congratulations for not supporting, you know, content that is really important to the local ecosystem in many, many ways. Okay, that rant aside, this is from Jim Ozarski. Quote, there was always a little bit of a distance between the head coach and his star player. Also, he said, quote, to those familiar, Antetokounmpo had been searching for a closer bond with a head coach, one that went beyond hard coaching and practice in the film room, and in-game stratagem?
It's like, I don't know. It's one of those words you never say out loud. Yeah. At least I've never said out loud.
I'm just going to say strategy because it's the same thing. He found he clicked with Griffin, sources said, in his meeting with the 48-year-old former player. These are, and maybe these quotes were out. I guess if they were, we probably just didn't pay attention to them because we didn't pay attention to much.
By the way.
Thank you. We didn't pay attention to much, Bud said. Here's some quotes from last season. This is their fifth year together, I think. Quote, there's times when I feel like we're clicking, and then there's times when we're still figuring each other out and stuff like that. Then a bunch about how competitive Giannis is, etc. Further down. Here it is. Quote, I don't know that there was ever a moment or time we clicked. I feel like we're still a work in progress, but he wants to win. And so I think he can feel and see as a coaching staff, we're trying to do everything we can to win. We care, of course, all the other good stuff. And but pair this with what Sam Mitchell said. Sam Mitchell, former coach, now is like a really, really strong, I think, personality on NBA TV. Sam Mitchell said, quote, if you look at Milwaukee this year, as good a team as they had, they look like they were missing that tough gene. That's the one thing that puts you over the top. And if Milwaukee needs one thing, I think Adrian Griffin can bring that. And he also said he, quote, in parentheses, Griffin, was a tough-minded player, kind of like Darvin Ham. Darvin is now in L.A. because if he was still there, he would be the head coach. I think they went out and tried to find a guy that has the same type of character and the same type of qualities that Darvin Ham brings. And I think Adrian Griffin is that guy. This is Sam Mitchell, an outside voice speaking. But we do remember Bobby Portis a couple weeks ago saying nobody understands how big losing Darvin Ham was. I think at the time, all of us kind of, okay, it's interesting, whatever. I do think if you look across all of these things, I know I'm Pepe Sylvie-ing a lot of things at once right now. I think that more than whatever strategy or development Darvin Ham brought, it seems like he, as a former player, was someone who really was able to connect with the guys.
What he said resonated more with the players.
Yes, and I think, you know, Charles Lee, I think everyone likes, was not a former NBA player. He's also like not even 40 years old yet, but obviously not a former NBA player. You know, the rest of the staff, Vin Baker is there, but it does seem like that presence. Damari Carroll as well, thank you. It does feel like, for whatever reason, though, the guys who are still there were not able to match that presence of Darvin Ham, which, again, Bobby Portis literally said this. And now that toughness, everything. And it does seem like Adrian Griffin is someone who will be able to replicate that just like uber respected presence that Ham certainly was for the Bucks.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it always comes down to, for the players, like, you always hear these comments, and this, I'm not trying to say that this isn't justified at all, because I'm not an NBA player. How am I supposed to know? Every time it's sort of brought up, it's like, oh, you didn't play. How are you supposed to understand that? You didn't play. How are you supposed to understand? And like, who am I to say that's not a valid criticism? Because like I said, I've never been an NBA player. I've never been in those shoes before. That level of respect can only be achieved by former players. And like, if it's that level of respect is not there between these certain group of guys and their head coach, that's something that's can't really be bridged. You can't fix that because you're always going to default to that response. Bucks can't do that anymore. They cannot do that anymore. The guy in the driver's seat used to play for the Milwaukee Bucks franchise at one point.
Yeah.
You've played against his son. You will continue to play against his son because he just finished up his rookie year with the Atlanta Hawks. Even though Trae Young's saying, hey, we're keeping AJ. Just watch out, Trae.
I didn't realize until right before our pod on Saturday that AJ Griffin is Adrian Griffin's son. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's super cool, actually.
I didn't realize that either. Nice. It is really cool. Yeah. His daughter's like a great college player as well.
Yeah. Let's get that.
His other son used to be a good college player.
Yeah. But, you know.
He's like the LiAngelo Ball of the family, I guess.
It happens. It happened. Heard tryout coming soon.
I'm sorry to LiAngelo Ball on the side. I don't know why.
Why do you have to apologize?
I don't know. I feel bad.
It's fine. He was hitting the side of the backboard in the Lakers workout, dude. It's okay. I think he knows now. Adrian Griffin, though. Are you surprised at how much is coming out about Giannis's influence and that side of things? Because that's usually not something that happens. And Giannis is extension eligible this summer, by the way. Just always worth throwing that. I'm not saying this should or should not guarantee that or anything else. And I do want to stress a point I made on the Saturday pod with Jordan. Like, I don't think Adrian Griffin is some schlub who Giannis connected with, and that's why he's the head coach. Like, I think Adrian Griffin is a hell of a candidate and someone who the front office and ownership thinks can do a great job coaching this team. And then the Giannis factor really pushed him over the edge. But clearly Giannis is throwing the weight around more than we've seen before. And that is, I'm not going to make a value judgment yet. Certainly very interesting though, given the way Giannis has operated in the past.
It's more than we've seen, like, sort of come out for realistically any player besides LeBron in the last, like, decade. Like, I'm trying
KD and Kyrie were actively making decisions.
But that's two players, though.
I mean, it's KD and then Kyrie's his buddy, if we're being realistic.
That's fair.
Like,
that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if Steve Nash gets the Raptors job. Dude. Who do you think has a better chance of getting the Raptors job, Steve Nash or JJ Redick?
Nash, because he's a Canada guy.
Oh, that's true.
It's a nepo. It's an indirect nepo.
Yeah, that's fair. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, but yeah, KD, Kyrie, I almost consider them their own different animal. LeBron and now Giannis are the guys who are just like, yeah, we're putting our money on the table, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
as Adam McGee would say. It's really, really interesting to me because we've heard like, oh, Giannis was consulted for like a big trade, like the Drew Holiday trade, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they talked to Giannis about it, which is like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's like every time there's like a trade or something, you hear like, oh yeah, like Giannis, they talked to Giannis about it. Don't worry. We have never heard anything to this extent about, hey, by the way, Giannis is like, the final decision is coming down to like, oh yeah, Giannis is meeting with all of these three guys, and that's the final list of candidates. We have not heard anything like this before. And like you were just saying, to echo your point, it's not just, oh, Giannis likes this guy, he's the head coach now. It's this guy is a quality candidate.
Yeah.
And one of the final barriers is meeting with Giannis.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he made the top three. I mean, we don't know
if
Giannis even had anything to do with who the top three guys were.
I can't recall from where, but I believe there was some reporting that Giannis did not meet with the initial pool of candidates. That
he just met
with the final three.
Correct. I mean, there was reporting from Jake Fisher of like candidates in the first round who were like begging to meet with Giannis. It's like coming off as weird, my guy. You sounded like if one of us was getting the interview for the Bucks job and all we did it for was to meet Giannis or something like. Just interview like a normal candidate. That's kind of just let me talk to Giannis. It's like, just calm down. I don't think you should talk to Giannis.
Yeah, they need that final stamp of approval, I guess.
That's true.
Giannis is the reason that Adrian Griffin is the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
100%. He is, and there's no denying that. And like you mentioned, he is extension eligible. Is it worth it for him to sign that extension? Probably not.
Yeah,
that's just a consequence of the current CBA rules, and as they get implemented even more, that's still really not going to affect guys who are that high salary. It's just more for like mid-tier free agent extension eligible. Wow, like your Chris Middleton's, like that rule, the new rule where it's like, what is it, 200%? I think.
Yeah, they made it more flexible, I believe, for veteran extensions
instead of just 120% extensions. It's higher now. But that's not really going to affect like your $50 million players like Giannis, $50, $60 million players like Giannis. So just take the extension thing with a grain of salt. Like you mentioned in that pod with Jordan, it's there. It's an option. Is it likely? Probably not.
Yeah.
However, this is a major, major point of inflection for the Milwaukee Bucks. We talked about this when their season ended. By the way, to the team that is going to the finals, makes it the fifth straight year that the Bucks either win the East or lose to the team that does win the East. We'll talk about that a little more later. But this is a major, major point for the Bucks. They can either continue on their track to being like a title contender year in, year out, maybe win like a title or two more, like, yeah, that'd be amazing. Or this could be the beginning of the end. And I don't sort of take that lightly. Like, this core is starting to age. Giannis is starting. He's like going to be 30 like next year. It's a lot of major decisions coming. And the one thing you cannot lose in that is Giannis.
Exactly.
it all depends on Giannis because he's only under contract for two more years.
Yep. So, I mean, to your point, you know, you said Adrian Griffin is only the Bucks head coach because of Giannis. And I think sometimes, you know, when certain parts of the fan base feel that any superstar, Giannis included, is wielding that power, they get to, oh, you know, this can't happen. This isn't okay. Like, you know, need to rein it in. I think the Milwaukee Bucks are only in Milwaukee because of Giannis. So let's keep some perspective on just how important this one player is to the franchise. And certainly with the draft pick situation going forward and everything, alienating Giannis is the absolute one thing you never, never, ever can do. I mean, we've talked about you can't let Chris walk. You can't do this. You can't do that. And, you know, you probably can't let Chris walk because that still applies. But at the heart of it all, the only reason there's anything worth doing with this core in this asset position is because of Giannis. And, you know, you get to the final three, and let's say Giannis is anti-nurse, mid on Kenny, and pro Adrian Griffin. I think there is zero chance you can afford potentially alienating Giannis at this juncture. You know, let's say he doesn't extend, he's pissed off, they don't have a good year, they don't win a title. Giannis, with 1 year remaining, may as well be a free agent. Like, we've seen how superstars are in that position. That's when you get to really like, okay, would it suck if the Bucks were just like a good playoff team and didn't win another title with Giannis for the next 5 years? Yeah, that's not what we want. That's a lot better than Giannis leaves in a year. And I just think you need to always keep that in mind. Also, like, you know, the chance to have that second run is probably going to involve Giannis's gravitational pull, pulling in more good players to Milwaukee, as we've seen happen year over year. And I think, you know, obviously, again, that doesn't happen if he's not in Milwaukee. So I really can't hold it against the Bucks to make sure that the coaching hire is someone who's really going to click with Giannis and ensure Giannis is in a good spot, both in terms of winning games and just like his overall, you know, outlook on the franchise, because this is not a time between the on-court failure of the last year, sorry, Giannis, and the asset position and his contract situation where you can afford fucking around and finding out, to put it bluntly. So I absolutely think it would have been a much, much, much stupider decision to go, Giannis doesn't like him, but we think Nick Nurse is going to make better adjustments. We're not going to look at his half-court offense for the last 4 years in Toronto, but we think he's the guy because he won a playoff run with Pete Kawhi Leonard once against a decimated Warriors team. So that's the guy. And Giannis, get over it. I mean, there's no guarantee they win a title with Nick Nurse. There's no guarantee they don't with Adrian Griffin. I don't know what the EV difference on that is. I don't know which way it goes. We don't know who's a better coach yet. You know, I think there were some people who thought it was a little crazy when Dwayne Casey, coach of the year, was fired and his unheralded replacement was the guy who got to coach Kawhi Leonard. And that guy was Nick Nurse and won a title. So I just don't think we can know. But I do think you cannot actively do something that, you know, is probably going to piss off Giannis. Like, that also applies to Chris. We know Giannis is in Chris's relationship. I think that's why Chris, despite potentially being a free agent, is getting to talk to these candidates, right? Because, you know, hey, if we're going to do anything, we're going to make Giannis happy and get Giannis on board and invested with the Bucks. I think, you know, you can call it kowtowing or whatever you want. I think at this position, doing that.
Call it what?
Kowtowing. Kowtow. It's a history thing. When people would have to go to Japan, they'd have to kowtow to the emperor. It's like a deep bow, I think.
Huh. The more you know.
Yeah. So, so you can call it that or just bowing, I guess, to Giannis. But I think as long as you can do it in a way that you're not totally giving him ownership of all franchise decisions, which I wouldn't expect Giannis to really want that anyway, I have no issue with that. I've said before, if he wants all of the Antetokounmpos on the roster, I'm fine with that. If it keeps Giannis in town, you know, we've seen the Bucks not get much out of those roster spots anyway, so make it happen. That's my outlook, but I mean, I just think, you know, he's the center of the Bucks universe, and I'm not going to besmirch a decision that clearly is something that he was totally in favor of, and that should lead to a more locked-in group this time next year.
And it's also like you mentioned, I don't think you explicitly said that. Like, he deserves this level of input, just with what he's done for this franchise. Like, he's the best player in franchise history. He's the greatest Buck of all time. How about that? I'll say that. Because I don't know if he's reached peak Kareem, but he's the greatest Buck ever. And, you know, the greatest player to ever play for your franchise. Like, you deserve these sort of these decisions.
I mean,
you deserve to be able to do it. And also, like, who else is going to be, like, able to tell what's going to resonate with their guys? Like, because it's not just like Giannis is the best player on the team, because duh. But it's also like Giannis is the leader of that team. Like, yeah. Him and Chris, those are the guys who know what goes on. Those are the guys that run that locker room. They know what type of candidates are going to resonate with their guys, with them. Like, of course they should be involved in the coaching process. Like, it's not like this is a very different and unique coaching process, like higher than we've seen in recent history. Like I mentioned, the last, like, LeBron is one of the guys who's had this level of input. You know what? You know why? Because the closest analog to this is the Cavaliers firing David Blatt and hiring Ty Lue. And look how well that worked out. Like, LeBron, like, got to make that decision because he knows, hey, I know what this team is. This team is a title contender. What can we do to get us over the top? Like, the general manager, like, the roster is fine. Like, I mean, to some extent, like, there's going to be a lot of changes coming. But the core is fine. Like, we know, like, these guys are capable of winning. We just need that guy who's going to take us over the top. And the players, they might know that better than anyone. Like, because they're the ones who are going to be, like, responding to the coaching.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, you look around the league, you look at LeBron this year, and clearly he was pushing the Lakers to make midseason moves. They make a couple of trades. They make the conference finals. I mean, they were 10th in the West when they made those trades with not a whole lot of sign of improvement. And I think you look at another player who probably doesn't do this enough, and maybe that'll change now. Look at Steph Curry and the Warriors, and they tried this two timelines thing, and I know they won the title last year on fumes, but I gotta wonder if this year Steph isn't sitting there going, should I have just gone to Bob Myers and said, forget the two timelines, or Joe Lacob, and say, you know, hey, maybe we can trade these guys who are on the bench not playing any minutes for players who can help us win another title while I'm still at the peak of my powers here? And obviously they did trade Wiseman. Kuminga didn't get minutes in the series they lost to the Lakers, right? Like, you know, I think sometimes these stars need to push it a little bit to make sure that their teams are doing everything they can. I mean, that's the relationship, right? The star goes and makes sure, hey, use every resource, spend the money, flip the draft picks, because I don't care about that. Like, I want to win. And I think sometimes these teams get a little bit too complacent when the stars don't do that. And if you are a LeBron, Steph, Giannis guy, I think you're well within your rights as an NBA superstar to say, hey, let's make sure I can win here. Because if I can't win here, then we have to have a different conversation. I'm very nervous and also excited to see how the year starts off, to see the first press conference. Not official hire yet. Rohan and I both think it gets done today, Tuesday, as we record this. Obviously, it was a long weekend, but at some point, the Bucks will announce this. At some point, they will hold an introductory press conference.
What if they don't?
They just never say anything?
Yeah.
That would be very Spursy. Mm-hmm. Didn't Duncan not announce his retirement? He just wasn't there. I think that's true. I'll have to look it up. But I think, like, one day, like, they were, like, at training camp, and they were like, oh, where's Tim? And, oh, he's retired. And everyone was like, wait, what? I don't know if that's true or that's just a joke that happened, but that may be true.
I remember it was very, like, nonchalant.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm done.
And then later he started showing up again, and they were like, is he playing? And they're like, no, he's going to be a coach for a little while. And they were like, what's going on with Tim Duncan? No one ever knows what's going on.
Where the hell is Tim Duncan?
Yeah. He's gone again now.
What was I about to say? Oh, yeah, the Bucks, they have not made this official. I'll share my Galaxy Brain take. I know you already don't like it. I don't like it either.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't, like, to be clear, I don't believe this to be true, but I believe, like, you know, maybe it's worthy of discussion. But it's like, if the Heat did indeed blow a 3-0 lead for the first time in NBA history, were they holding out for, like, hey, what if the Heat are mad at Spo for that?
It's
not going to happen. It's not going to, like, why would they fire Eric Spoelstra? They're an 8 seed who was up 3-0 in the conference finals. Like, even if they blow that, that's still one hell of a win.
Like, what lever would the Heat be looking at Spo to pull? That, like, hey, how come you're not giving you gave everyone minutes because you're out of players. Okay, never mind. I mean, it's...
How come you didn't... No, when they were chanting, we want Haslam, you didn't put Haslam in.
That's true. Yeah, how come Caleb Martin didn't play 50 minutes in this regulation game? I think he should be playing two positions at once. He was so good. He
it almost is your won. Fault that Caleb Barton, it was not Eastern Conference Finals MVP. He should have won it.
One vote.
He should have won it.
5-4. It was 5-4. It was close.
He should have won it. I believe he was deserving of that award.
I think so, too.
He's the best player, like most consistent player.
What a wild. Let's talk about the finals a little bit, but do you have anything else on Adrian Griffin and the Bucks? I think probably soon we could start doing roster stuff because we're getting pretty close now.
Yeah. I mean, the one of the things about hiring an assistant or a guy who's never been a head coach in the NBA before is like, there's not a lot we can learn.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have to do most of our learning process during, like, when we actually see basketball games. So,
and hear from him. Like, what he says is going to be very important.
And his hiring of assistants.
Yes, that's going to be
like,
huge.
Are there going to be assistants coming from Toronto? Like, is it going to be like a mad... Like, is it going to be like, oh, are you going to go to Milwaukee or are you going to go to Philly?
Yeah. I mean, is there going to be some assistants in Milwaukee staying? Are there going to be, I'm sure, some old friends from maybe his days under Skiles or Tibbs? Maybe Skiles himself. Does Skiles want to be an assistant? Homecoming?
Oh, boy.
Hey, that's the NBA single season or single game assist leader you're talking about.
Is it really?
Pretty sure.
Oh, that's wild. What do you have, like 20-something?
It's like, I think like 30. Yeah.
God,
verify this to make sure I'm not lying, but I'm almost positive it's Scott Skiles.
30. Yeah, oh, 30. My God. Yeah, most assists in a single game, 30. In a 155-116 victory.
Yeah.
What the hell was different that era. Offense on?
Different era.
Oh, my God. Imagine scoring 116 points in an NBA game and losing by 39.
You get blown out. You get blown 39. Out. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's ridiculous. Okay, but continue. The NBA Finals.
Yeah.
It is the Denver Nuggets versus the Miami Heat, like I mentioned earlier. Under Bud, the Bucks either won the East or lost to the team that won the East.
Yeah, I'm glad that tradition carried on.
Yeah.
I'm also, I'm so glad the Celtics lost.
Me too. I could
been
not have
so
handled.
Insufferable.
I could not have handled if the Celtics had come back from 3-0. Well,
especially, are you aware of the Red Sox thing they were playing into?
Yes, yeah.
To have all the massholes be able to do the never count out Beantown thing, it would have been horrible. It would have just been horrible. I'm so glad.
No, especially with a lot of national NBA media, like just like from Boston area.
Do you know Bill Simmons and his dad were there?
The picture of Bill Simmons. Just looking like he just watched his dog get run over by a car.
It probably felt worse than that to him. I really, that game, I was befuddled. I tweeted a couple days ago, like, actually when they went up 3, when the Celtics won one game, I think when they were down 3-1, I tweeted, the funniest outcome is Boston loses late in game 7, but I don't want that stress. And that's how I expected it to go if they did lose. I thought it would be another Heat comeback. I didn't expect the Heat to kind of just wallop them the whole game. I thought that was weird. And I was
the Celtics had a lead for like the first like 5 minutes of the game, and then it was just over.
It was like a 12-2 run or something. And
it
then
wasn't
from
even
there,
it wasn't even the first 5 minutes. It was like the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, I looked in and I was like, okay, they're up pretty decently. All right. And then the Heat just like went and kept going, and I was like, You know they have like 5 players, right? Like how is this the force that you can't handle?
Haywood Highsmith is making plays.
They were waiting for him to play for a while. I think he should probably play more of the finals, which is why I'm picking Nuggets in 5, by the way, because I just think
Nuggets in 5.
They're a machine. They are a machine. And the way Bam has been playing, that's not going to be good enough for Nikola Jokic.
Do you want to talk about Bam, Ty?
Listen, I wait till you. I do kind of think the Heat take game 1. I think if they don't, they're for sure losing in 5 or less, because I think you can kind of take advantage of a team that hasn't played in so long. Like,
Jokic,
I think it's
just talking to some horses right now.
I think the Heat's path to winning the series is Jokic forgot the season is still going on and they can't find him. And he's just like in Serbia at a racetrack somewhere. I think that's Miami's best chance to win is the Nuggets are like, hey, where's Nikola? We gave him a few days off. And the other Jokic's are like, oh, yeah, he went home. I thought we were done.
Oh, my goodness. He pulls a Tim Duncan. He's like, oh, he's retired.
He's gone. He did all he needs to do this year, I thought. I know. I wanted to give the Heat a real chance to win because they've had such a great run. Tyler Hero might come back, which is really bad for the Heat.
It said targeting a minimum game 3 return, I think.
Yeah, I just...
That was Chris Haynes, I believe.
I mean, the Celtics were just like... I don't think the Nuggets will fold the way the Celtics did. Like, I think this Nuggets team is better. And I think it comes from... Jokic is just one of those guys at this point. Like, he's not going to do what Tatum does. Like, he's not going to...
And Bam is not.
Yeah, correct. And Jimmy can't sustain it long enough. Like, I think they've...
He's also hurt.
Yeah. Everyone on their team is hurt. That's the other thing. Everyone's limping.
At some point, you're on empty.
I mean, they were. They barely got through after having a 3-0 lead.
And it's... I just think Jokic is going to just overwhelm Bam. Like, they have no size on the Heat roster. And one thing that the Nuggets will do... is very Bucks-like. They will weaponize their size.
Yeah.
Very not Bucks-like, because the Bucks did not. But let's not get into that right now.
In 21, they did it.
In 21, they did it.
Championship Bucks-like.
Yeah. They weaponize their size. And the Nuggets, they do weaponize their size. And they have a lot of solid perimeter defenders.
Dude, a crazy stable. That's what their wing, their team building, their thing to take away is just...
throw out. Yeah, like KCP, Aaron Gordon, Bruce Brown, like just that trio is like, what do you do? Where's the weak spot?
Yeah.
Like, I guess you have to try and target Jamal Murray, but like even Jamal Murray is giving it his all on the defensive end.
And MPJ has become a pretty decent defender too.
And like at the end of the day, he's just big.
6'10".
Like, long. Yeah. Like you might not be able to give the most defensive intensity. Like you might not get the most... engage defense from MPJ, but he's also at the end of the day just big.
Yeah, that helps in basketball generally.
It really does. Like he is 6'10 with a plus wingspan. Like you can't do a lot with that, especially like he's bigger than Bam.
Yeah, I think Miami's too small, and also I think the way this played out is the worst possible outcome for Miami and the best for Denver. Like I think Miami wins in 4, and you know they can rest up a little bit, which they clearly need. Maybe they can throw enough curveballs that they make it an interesting series. The fact that they let Boston push them to 7, I just think that I just don't imagine they're going to be able to beat Denver. And especially Miami winning means that Denver has home court. Boston would have had home court. I was like, maybe Boston would actually have a chance in this series. I would have picked Denver for sure. But
yeah, but Boston would have had more of a chance than Miami.
Yeah, I think
or having, maybe not, because Boston just lost in Miami.
Yes. Boston has a real team. I just think Miami, this fumes thing, I don't know how long they can do it for.
Yeah, who knows? Like, Miami has been going off. Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin have been carrying them to victory in this series. Like, that's why I thought Caleb Martin should have been Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Also, it's hilarious that both trophies that the Heat got were named after Celtics, and they got them in Boston.
That is pretty sick.
The Bob Trophy and the Larry Bird Trophy.
That is pretty
amazing.
Sick. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent. Like when Gabe Vincent got hurt, it's like, oh shit, are the Heat gonna lose the series?
Yeah, 100%.
Like that's where we're at. And like we mentioned, like I mentioned earlier about that defensive trio of wings that Denver can just throw out at you. It's like, yeah, they've got the guys to really sort of try and contain those guys because those are the guys who they run like they make that Heat engine run. Because it hasn't been Jimmy, really, and it definitely hasn't been Bam.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, what is Miami going to do with, like, the Jokic-Murray actions, right? Because
what are they going to do with the Jokic brothers? UD's found his match.
That's true. I mean, listen, Miami could prove us wrong again. I would welcome a good finals. I'm not sure we're going to get it, and I kind of think this is... It feels like Jokic's moment in the same way 21 felt like Giannis's moment, and it's just like a... All your shit takes are done now, and I'm that guy. And I don't think he'll ever say that in those terms. That's just what the play will say. Jokic will say, like, you know, we did it because of Bruce Brown or whatever Jokic says. Did you see the Furby video that's going around with him?
Yes.
He didn't know what a Furby was. He was like, what did he call it? He was like,
he just called it like a stuffed toy.
Yeah. He's like, ah, stuffed. Yeah.
And then it's just like, oh, it's a Furby.
I've never seen that. I've never seen that.
Oh. And then after he just like named all the Ninja Turtles.
Really?
Like Jamal. Yeah. It was like Jamal Murray was struggling to name all the Ninja Turtles. And then Jokic is like, no, I got this. Come on.
Oh, man.
Just incredible content. Incredible guy. Like I do think Denver's going to walk in this.
Yeah. Game. What's your prediction?
I think 5 or 6.
Five is the home game. So I feel like that's.
I'll say 6 just to give some more credit to the voodoo magic of the Miami Heat, because they deserve
that's
it.
That's fair.
But Nuggets, it should, like, theoretically, it could be Nuggets in 4.
There's a chance. I still think, again, I think Miami has to take that first game. You got to kind of take them by surprise. I don't know if that will actually work, because I just think the Nuggets are really, really good. And I feel kind of good about most of it.
And they're a good home court team as well.
Great home court team. I kind of feel good about all year just being like, yeah, everyone's all excited about the Lakers and the Warriors and whatever else. Like, why would the Nuggets not win the West? And the Nuggets promptly, like, you know, just
won the West.
Easily. I mean, how many games did they lost?
They lost like 2 to Minnesota, didn't they?
Did they really? Did that go to 6?
Yeah, I think that went 6. And then
they obviously swept the Lakers.
And so they lost 4 games.
They've lost 3. They lost 1 to Minnesota.
Oh, 1 to Minnesota. Oh, yeah. And game 6 was close, I think. Yeah. Came down to the end. I was like, are they going to force a game 6?
Yeah. So, yeah, and I think the Suns, was that just both the Phoenix games that?
Yeah, it was the first 2 Phoenix games. Yeah. That series won 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Suns got thumped for the second straight year at home.
Yeah. Dude, Jokic, in the game 4 they lost in Phoenix, Jokic had 53 points. Not bad. Also, the way Jamal Murray's playing, holy, wow. Wow. I don't know if he's going to do that for another whole series. If he does, it's definitely Nuggets in 4. I mean, the series he just had. And, of course, Bucks fans respond by going, we got to trade Chris for a Jamal Murray kind of player. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure Denver and other teams with young superstar scorers are itching to trade him for Chris Middleton, who's a free agent probably. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Who even is a Jamal Murray type that's not Jamal Murray?
I guess Donovan Mitchell.
Even Donovan Mitchell's made, like, hasn't he made All-NBA?
Yeah, I guess Murray's less heralded because of the injuries mostly.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a proxy.
I don't know if that, I mean, Jalen Green in rumors.
Less proven somehow.
Yeah, way less proven. Way less proven.
He was a second year player. I guess back in the day, Manuel Mudiay, what's he up to?
No. Not even close to that. Do the outro now. We're at time. Emmanuel Mudiay? Has he ever scored 15 points in a season?
Let's see it. Let's see it, Emmanuel.
Per game. Average per game. Although I wonder what his high is, too. Oof.
Emmanuel Mudiay. Let's see it. I got time. We're looking this up. He's a career 10.9 points per game guy.
What's his high average?
14.8.
Yeah, so he is not.
With the Knicks. Okay, what's his career high scoring? And then we're done.
Ask StatMuse. That'll be the quickest way.
I just Googled it. Career best. No, the real GM.
Oh. I'm going to guess less than 30.
Nope. I don't want to look at the D League best. 34 points.
Oh, 34. Was it in April? Was it the game in April?
December 14th, 20. No, this blew my mind. December 14th, 2018.
Later than I would have thought.
That's ridiculous.
What team?
Against the Hornets.
What team was he on?
Denver, I'm assuming. That's crazy. No, he was Knicks.
Yeah, I was going to say. He was not on Denver that long because that did not work out. The Brandon Jennings route, play overseas.
Yeah. I thought that's when I think I mentioned this before. Emmanuel Mudiay is when I gave up on trying to be a guy who, like, sort of like a draft guy, because I thought he was him.
Yeah, that's me with Denzel Valentine.
Yeah, I absolutely thought he was him. And then Emmanuel Mudiay was like, I was like, yeah, I'm out of the game. I can't do it. I recognize my own strengths and weaknesses, Ty. So I was done.
When are we doing a pod on best overall prospects to take with the last pick in the NBA draft?
I'll my people will talk to your people.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah, so I'll just tell them. thank you all for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on Blue Wire and GSPN. Make sure you are subscribed wherever you're listening to this on your podcast platform of choice or watching on YouTube. Check out gspn.info for all of the pods here on GSPN, whether that be Win in 6, which is on the same very feed, Cruising for a Bruise and Talk of the Tundra. Make time for this. We got the Succession episode.
Oh, we got another one coming. We haven't done the final finale one yet. That'll be this week.
I'm putting a little tease up.
Yeah,
there's gonna be a wrap up Succession pod. Make sure you guys check that out.
I can't believe Adrian Griffin won. Still, it's pretty crazy. That's what we're talking about, right? Succeeding Mike Budenholzer.
I think it was a solid succession for Adrian Griffin.
Keep going. I think we'll probably do a make time for this too. A make time for this on I Think You Should Leave, as we just both learned from Adam. The new season is out, and I'm very excited about that. I love that show.
And that's actually a show I watch.
Yeah. So we'll get you in on that for sure.
Make sure you subscribe for all of that. Make sure you subscribe, like I mentioned, wherever you're watching, listening to this. Leave a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. Pod Random, and we will talk to you next time.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.